County Councilwoman Marty Hawk checks in with us every Wednesday morning. Marty, is the sun shining in Ellettsville today?
Oh, it is. It really is. And, you know, I expect it to be 72 degrees.
It is, inside your house.
I expect it to be, but it that's not what's going to happen.
Well, I tell you what, it is 72 degrees right now, so you better get out and enjoy it before it gets into the low 90s today. But plenty of sunshine. Finally, the rain's kind of surpassed, so we can dry everything out a little bit. But we're not going to do gardening all morning. We've got to get to some heavier lifting. Where are we in the budgeting process? Where are we with the local option income tax? Didn't I see a story late last week in the paper that we finally got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and everything is set and ready to go? Tell us where we're at after a long Labor Day weekend. We need to get caught up on what's happening with the money.
Right. Well, the state had told us what we needed to do to be able to have this income tax in place for 2017. And I've told you that. I know you're tired of hearing it, but that's what happened. And the folks here didn't seem to want to follow the directions for some reason. And they finally, you know, light bulb moment, it was like, oh, I think they want it this way. And then they did it the way the state said. They had to put it together in a template, exactly how much percent for everything and what was going to happen. They sent it to the state. The state okayed it. And so that should be advertised, and then they're talking about having a combined meeting toward the end of the month. I think it was on the 29th to be able to vote on it. Now, I've cautioned that since it's an ordinance, generally speaking, you have to have two readings on an ordinance. Each of the units, like the city, the county, and town of Ellettsville. Certainly the county, we normally have two readings on an ordinance.
And how much time has to follow in between those, Marty?
Well, I mean, you can even have an ordinance reading on one day and the second reading on the second day.
Okay.
So I've asked our legal department to research that and make certain that that advertising is done correctly and that
might be a good idea.
Ducks in a row on the time frame of that, and I'm just going to leave it in their capable hands because there may be something different about this kind of an ordinance. Who knows? It's just that with everything riding on this income tax money, believe me, the city's budgets are counting on this. So, you know, and so are the counties. I mean, we're not going to decide on the money that's going to be spent with the income tax money until at the end of our budget hearings. But still, like right now, we're trying to decide, since we haven't seen the city's budgets and we don't have an interlocal agreement with the city for central dispatch, then, you know, the county pays for a certain number of dispatchers and the city pays for a certain number. That's all supposed to go under one umbrella, one budget process, one revenue process for central dispatch. But we don't have that in front of us, and we don't have an interlocal agreement. So in the meantime, we're going to make sure those salaries are placed someplace where we know those folks are going to get paid. So we're going to have to make a decision, and I'm thinking there'll be some consideration of just putting it underneath that special fund that's called the 911 fund, and that's generally what's decided on by an interlocal agreement. But we could just pay them out of that, and if they can't get around to agreeing on the agreement, we'll at least have a place to pay these folks.
Let me break in quickly here. The Sergeant Kurt Durnell with the Indiana State Police. There's a crash injury north of Bloomington, northbound and southbound lanes of State Road 37 at Chambers Pike is shut down. Please avoid the area. Emergency crews are on the scene. So that was posted about 20 minutes ago, so please be aware of that. Sorry.
And that was the northbound?
I'm going to read it. This is Sergeant Kurt Durnell's tweet with the Indiana State Police. Road closure, crash with injury north of Bloomington, northbound and southbound lanes of State Road 37 at Chambers Pike is shut down. Please avoid the area. Emergency crews are on the scene. That's, again, Sergeant Kurt Durnell with the Indiana State Police. So that was happening around the top of the hour when we were shuffling the cards. I just wanted to get that in so people are wondering to they can avoid it, get around it, go a different route, please. Marty Hawk is our guest this morning. Mark Fetty is also with us every Wednesday. Marty is the county councilwoman who keeps our eyes on the money, and I will let you pick off where you left
off. Okay, Marty.
I'll let Margaret jump in here.
I just had one question.
Let me tell you, that is exactly why it is so important. Well, of course, all of this is just such a mess there. But the state's got to pick up and do whatever they have to do to get that area finished off and make it safe. In the meantime, it's so important that all of our people who are answering to Central Dispatch, all of our responders, are able to talk with one another and make certain that they all know what areas are open to be able to respond. And I understood that there was a problem with the radio, a changeover from the state at the changed over September 1 over into this new system, and it was not working properly, and I'm sure hoping they've got that worked out this morning so those responders will be able to have a discussion with, as they need to do the best possible job for these people involved in this accident. My concern, and I believe everyone's, is that this is just the safety there is so important, and during all this construction mess,
people,
and
please
delay,
slow down.
It's going to cost lives, and the state just has got to get this worked out. And further, when you see all of that equipment lined up that belongs to Kreider, everybody knows it's in any kind of big construction project. You cannot afford to have big equipment sitting there not being used, because that equipment is money. And, you know, they need to be making money when that equipment, that expensive equipment, is sitting there. If they don't get paid, they're going to pull it out of there. I mean, one would think.
Yeah.
They're not just going to let it sit there and be idle.
That story is very interesting, and hopefully we will get some more answers to it. There's a lot of supposition about the design firm being in bankruptcy right now, and that's why they're not being paid. And so I'd like to, I'm surprised that I learned through comments, not through any investigative reporting. So I'm kind of curious as to what's going on there.
Right. And I'm sorry to have gone off on that, but I do know that that's going to be primary in the thoughts of everyone when they're get out there on 37. So
slow down and be careful.
County budget hearings having to do with why what goes on in the county is important as to how we respond to accidents and so forth, because that central dispatch is so important that it's working exactly right and it has money to operate. And so the money from this public safety tax, a percent of that, off of that public safety tax, will be going to Central Dispatch. So the and which will take Central Dispatch, it'll give them over $2 million. The rest of that $7 million, then there was like 300 and some thousand of it was supposed to go to those fire departments, and then what's left of that, so you take the $7 million approximately, subtract the $2,200,000 or whatever for Central Dispatch, another 300 some thousand for the fire departments. Then what is left in that balance goes to the city, to the county, to Ellisville, to Steinsville.
Marty, can I ask for a clarification for our listeners and for myself? Okay, the $7 million that we've been talking about, is that just this year what was going to be brought in, or is that what's going to be brought
annually
in next year?
Okay, that it's tied to a rate, so if there's more income tax coming in, that, you see, it would bring in more. Like, for instance, if all of the income tax collected throughout Monroe County equals X, then that percent for public safety is a part of that X. And if the total grows, then the percent dollar amount will grow. Now, what is in question that people have been questioning is, can we count on that always being for public safety? And that answer is no, because with the state legislation that changed, it said after July 1, it wouldn't have mattered if we'd done it before May 1st or after July 1. The way it gets split up will still remain the option of the Income Tax Council, which is controlled by the city. And they have an obligation to split it up in the manner of which they believe it best serves the people. And they can put a certain percent of public safety, economic development, or what is called certified shares. That's the way it's been done in the past, where it's just so much for each taxing unit that gets some. So it will depend upon what the city decides. They could decide more of it.
And so city decides because they have the largest percentage of the vote, correct?
They have the largest percentage of the vote because they have the largest population. It is tied to the population count. So within the city limits, there's more population than there is in Ellisville, in Steinsville, and in all of the unincorporated areas of the county. So even if the county and also in Steinsville said we want one thing, the city could then still opt to do it some other way because it is their option to do it. And that's just the way the legislation is. It's not the city's fault or the county's. It's just that's the way it works. So to say, can we always guarantee that this 0.25% will be for public safety, or that can we always guarantee that 300-some thousand will go to the fire departments? There's no written guarantee that will happen after 2017. Now, I'm not suggesting that they will change it. I'm saying when somebody asks you that question, you have to answer what could happen.
Marty.
Go ahead.
So, okay. Then you've been talking about 2017, but we put this into effect. We had a vote to put this into effect by, I thought it was October for 2016.
No. So
there's nothing. There's no money coming in for 2016. Then.
Wait, I didn't understand you correctly. Yes, there was a vote taken before July 1. For a public safety tax.
That's for 2016.
They came back and said to us, well, you can't have it for 2017 the way you voted on it, but it appears to me that they're saying, but you can have it for the last 3 months of 2016. Yes. So I think that now we're back on the same page.
Yes.
So and there's those 3 months.
So have we heard anything about the monies coming in for 2016? Because I thought that there was all kinds of money being spent on that too already.
No, that has not been the votes on how to split up the money that goes to the fire departments. That you probably saw that vote, and that was like $300-some thousand. That's out of the projected revenue that they believe that they will be getting in 2017. That final vote has not even been taken. It will be taken until the end of this month. It has to happen before before October 1, so that it will be in effect for 2017. But I haven't heard a lot of conversation about what's going to happen from the money from the last 3 months of this year.
And have we heard that we are even going to get that? I mean, one of the big questions was that vote was taken at an odd time outside of the time frame that the state set, and now where does that all stand? Because there was a lot of questions whether that will even happen.
Right. From what I've been able to gather and from what email I have seen from the state, they were indicating that what we did before July 1, it would only be effective for this year, for 2016, for the last 3 months. It would take effect in October, so the revenue would be collected October, November, and December. But you know what? If they intend to do that, somebody better be notifying the employers.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, because I am one, and I haven't heard anything. Are we going to be doing this or not?
Well, that is a very good question. I can only go by what notification I get from the state when they're responding to our questions, and it will be up to the Department of Revenue, the State Department of Revenue, I would think, to be notified.
Oh, my God, we're already, you know, 7 days into September. What's going on?
I get that. I understand, because what we've seen so far is, even on what we're being projected for 2017, we sent them a draft. When I say we, the city prepared it, the county looked at it. I looked at it several times. It was sent off to the state, and the state said, you know, okay, this draft looks like it's going to work. They had to make a few little tweaks on it, and then that's supposed to be advertised. And if that gets advertised and we vote on it appropriately, you know, time frame and everything, and if it's all voted yes, which the majority will be, because that'll be the city, then it will be in place for 2017. But indeed, what do we do about the last 3 months of 2016?
I mean, Marty, if they go and try to do this retroactively, what about those of us who have employees that maybe leave during that period of time? How are we going to collect that?
No, I don't see how they could do it retroactively.
So,
I don't see how they could do that. I mean, you know, you either attack.
I don't know. I've seen the state do a lot of things retroactively, so I'm not convinced. I mean, we ended up paying for, you know, unemployment for years, you know, retroactively. So, I mean, that's totally possible that they can do that. But my problem is right now is that my understanding was we had a vote for, you know, this local option income tax for 2016, and it was supposed to be collected October, November, and December. I haven't heard anything from anyone that is telling the public, and especially employers, what is potentially going to happen with that.
Right. I mean, I
thought there was money already spent for that.
And that's what you just said now twice. So we ought to know, and the public ought to know, the employers have not been notified, and they certainly need to be getting some kind of a notification, because that vote for 2016, that one's done and over with. That's not even, there's not going to be any further action taken by the county on that particular vote that happened back in June. So that's already a done deal. It's either go or it's not, and they have indicated to us that it's a go. So the state needs to be notifying people, and they need to notify us perhaps in a more official way so that people will know for certain. And I will contact our county legal department again today and say, what's going on with this part of it, and see where we go from there, because people need to have a little heads up here.
Thank you. That would be very helpful, Marty. We'd appreciate that.
In the meantime, you saw how our court-appointed special advocate's budget has grown in such a huge way. And remember, that's not to pay the volunteers. That's to pay the people who train those volunteers to go to court to represent the people, the young people who need help going to the court and presenting to be the best advocate for the child. And they reported to us last night the reason for our growth in numbers of cases to be taken care of is so tied to heroin. I mean, so much of our county's problems, and indeed going throughout the world, a problem with drug abuse and drug use and this heroin addiction is just simply killing families. It's killing people, as we know, and it's destroying families. And beyond that, it's certainly going to destroy, you know, resources to try to respond to it. So it's just, it's heartbreaking to see this happen over and over and over again. And we as a county have to respond as best we can.
Just to put it into terms, $214,500 up from $137,000 That's what I'm reading here.
That's how many more people we need to train, all of the additional volunteers, and we certainly always need more very, very caring people because to volunteer on these children's behalf, to go and represent the children in all of these cases. So, and they will have a lot of training for it, and it's very much needed. But that takes you back to our Youth Services Bureau and the services that we provide for our youth services. And that, and not all counties have a youth shelter. And so we looked at their budgets last night. And indeed, because we had raised that income tax for the juvenile services, they do have the money to respond to the additional needs there at the youth shelter. But they're having to expand how they can address these issues as well. We did see that there's like $800,000+ setting in a separate account for youth services. That's where the Department of Child Services pays for some of the youth that stays there, that's placed there, if there's a need to have shelter for a young person. And the state then pays so much per day that person is there. And that revenue has grown to $800,000+. And I've asked, what is their plan to do with that? Because public dollars should not just be sitting with no plan to use it, because that's not a good steward of the money. You want to make sure you don't spend all of your money. You want to have some saved back. But if it starts to grow, you need to have a plan how to provide the services. And so I'm told that Judge Galvin and others do have a plan for that. So I'm very much interested to hear how that's going. We'll be going back into budget hearings on the 19th and the 21st and the 22nd. And on the 22nd, we'll be looking at how to budget and plan for the income tax. We waited until the very last day and really extended the time so that we would have an opportunity to decide how that was to be budgeted, whether or not they'll determine that we will budget all of it, or maybe we'll just budget a part of it and be able to save some of it back for what the courts want, a work release center. I know last night the courts, some of which were that they most not real happy with the county council, because we determined that in future any new judge would no longer get that $5,000 supplement from the county. In years past, when the state pays the judges, the county doesn't. And in years past, for many years, the judges were certainly not paid an adequate amount for someone to be a judge. And so the county made up a portion of that money, and then the state started increasing the judge's salary. And now it's like $140,000+. And so it was felt by some of those on the council, that it was no longer as needed to pay that extra $5,000 to each of the judges. Now, it doesn't mean that we would take it away from any judges already sitting on the bench.
This would just be in the future, wouldn't it?
Right. As a matter of fact, we couldn't, even if we would choose to. The future ones, yes, we could. And while I know it might seem out of balance, it would just be one this time, but there's some other judge seats going to be coming open. And so I think there's going to be a total then between this one and the next. I think three, that'd be four, and since we have nine, that would be almost half. And so as time moves on, it would adjust down. And I compared that to the other elected officials who at one time received longevity, and what the county council determined a few years ago, that they would no longer receive the longevity. And that was when we didn't wait for a new elected official come along. We just changed it from one budget year and said from now on elected officials do not get longevity. And that affected the assessor, the auditor, the treasurer, the clerk, the recorder, And believe me, they weren't real happy about it.
No, I bet not.
But
you get to phase out the judges, they should be happy.
Let me tell you what, during budget hearings, I always look around and think, I have no friends.
Well,
the only person around here who loves me is my dog.
Well, that's
because
right.
You have got to look at those numbers and try to make the budget work. And so you're going to have to say no. And it's not always easy.
Well, it's easy to spend other people's money when it's not yours.
It becomes way too easy if you allow it to.
Absolutely, Marty. We have to let you go. I'm sorry we're out of time this morning, and we'll get caught up with you next Wednesday morning before you jump back into those budgets here in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much.
Marty, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.